Matthew chapter number 7. I'll give you a minute to get there. While you're turning there, I'll remind you we're having revival. We started last week and we'll be going on into next week. And whoever the Lord says to preach, they'll preach. And I've been preaching so far and with some good result. I thank God for the opportunity just to come meet at this house every night. No matter who we hear preach or sing, I thank God for it. I thank God for these folks coming by and singing for us this morning. How long y'all going to be here? Where y'all going to be tonight? Where you going to be at tonight? You going to be here? Or? Okay. All right. All right. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. And let's look down at... let's start. It's hard. It's always hard for me to decide where to start at. But Matthew chapter 7... And let's start reading in verse number 15. I want to preach to you this morning on church members that will go to hell. How's that for a sermon title? Don't sound too good, but it can be good if you get saved. Amen? I don't believe church membership puts you into heaven, do you? No, sir. So I want to preach to you this morning about church members that will go to hell. And he says in verse number 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." There's a fellow that looks like a prophet and acts like a prophet and wears clothes like a sheep, but he's a wolf. The devil's a wolf. This must be one of the sons of the devil. And so he says, "Inwardly they are ravening wolves." He said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" I read that verse and I see it like this. It says, "You'll know them by their fruits." Do men gather grapes of thorns? Well, let me ask you this. Do you get bitterness if you have eternal life? That's a different kind. It's a different fruit. On the tree of life, there's joy and gladness and contentment. There's no selfishness and bitterness and backbiting on God's tree. Amen. I mean, if you're producing the wrong fruit, you might be hooked up to the wrong tree. The Lord said, "I'm the vine and you're the branches." His branches don't have sour lemons on there. He's got grapes on there. And so you got the wrong fruit, you're probably hooked up to the wrong tree. I would check myself if I was you. Verse number 16, he says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Have you ever said, "Brother Mike, I'm trying to do right, but I just can't do it"? Well, that might be your clue right there. He said, "A bad tree can't bring forth good fruit." You might can turn over a new leaf, but you ever heard anybody say that, turn over a new leaf? What they mean is they're writing their own little book of life, and they messed up this page, so I turned the page and I got me a clean one. Well, clean pages don't mean eternal life. You can mess up the next page just as easy as you messed up the last page. Matter of fact, I recommend to you that you keep your fingers off the pages and let God do the writing. Amen? Amen? He'll do that for you if you'll let Him. But He says, verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." A corrupt tree don't bring forth new converts. I mean, you ever seen somebody get saved? Before you know it, they're making new converts. They're making new Christians. Some folks, they get saved and all their life they've never made a new Christian. There's something to be said. We've preached and preached and preached on winning souls here lately. You know a tree by the fruit that's born on it. And verse 18 again, he says, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." That word, hewn, that's a hard word to say. We don't use that word much, but I guarantee you ain't going to like it. That's taking axe and chop, chop, chop it down. That don't sound good to me, does it, Jew? I don't want no parts of an axe. I don't want no parts of being hewn in any way, shape, or form. If God wants to whittle a little bit off of me, that's fine, but don't go to cutting on me. I don't like that a bit. And so I thank God that God has saved me and gave me eternal life, and I don't have to worry about no being honed down or cut down. And especially that next part, it says cast into the fire. Oh, I don't want no parts of that, do you? Say, Brother Mike, you still one of them old-fashioned preachers that believes in a burning hell, a lake of fire? Absolutely. I certainly do. God hadn't changed none. God is not a compromiser. He's not going to change his mind. You say, Brother Mike, I don't like that old-fashioned religion. Well, the Bible says, he said, I'm the Lord and I change not. The Lord is old-fashioned. If you don't like old-fashioned, you don't like the Lord. We better come to the conclusion just as quickly as we possibly can that we got to do things His way, and our ways are not His ways. Yeah, but I think, who cares what you think? So, Brother Mike, that's not the kind of preaching that gets people to come. I know, I can see the congregation. I can see it getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. I see the way it is, but people like it the new way, and God likes it the old way. I'll just stay with God. And if at the end of time it's just me and God, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. I know it's not, but old Elijah got to the place where he thought it was just him and God, but it wouldn't. He says, I got 7,000 you don't know about. But then that reminds me to preach this. Hey, why didn't Elijah know about them other 7,000? The Lord just said they hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. He didn't say they was out preaching and doing what they were supposed to do. I bet you old Elijah could have used a couple of them 7,000, couldn't he, when he was out there facing them 400 prophets? Yeah. I went to singing or dinner on the grounds, you got folks coming from all over. Uh-huh. Easter Sunday, we had 110. Look around today, there ain't no 110. Amen? Amen? Right. You say, what's the problem? Well, they might not have bowed their knee to Baal, but they ain't to be found, are they? Amen. You say, what's the... Oh, Elijah, he had cause to be discouraged. He thought he was the only one standing. Listen, you don't let your preacher, whoever he is, you don't let the man of God, you don't let him think he's the only one standing. Every once in a while, say amen or something. Yeah. Well, we're with you, preacher. We act like Presbyterians, but we're right behind you. Amen. Do something like that every once in a while. You know it is okay to say amen in church, don't you? Yeah. I'd hate to know I was shouting at a television set when the Jaguars was playing. I couldn't say a little peep for the Lord when I got down to his house. Amen. Yeah, that's what you're afraid, folks. I heard a fellow say the first time he had a shouting fit, he wanted to have one in the service before, and he said he was just so embarrassed that he couldn't say amen. He wanted to say amen. I mean, hadn't you ever got excited about being saved?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people sit right here in these services and go, I thought they was going to explode. You say, what were they doing? They was trying to keep from saying amen. 80-yard touchdown on TV, though. Whoa! What's so good about the NFL that ain't good about your church or your salvation or whatever the case may be? I mean, when we all get to heaven, you can't get excited about that. Revive us again, you can't get excited about that. She sang that song a while ago. I got kind of excited about that. She said, Elijah found him faithful and all the... Man, I was thinking about the faithfulness of God. I listened to that song this morning while I was getting ready for church. I got to thinking about that, man. God's always been faithful. It's not so, I mean, you might need to learn how to be faithful, but it's not some principle that God just discovered and found out that it works. He's always been faithful.
Amen. Come on.
Left Adam and Eve in the garden with a couple of trees and they couldn't keep their hands off of it, just like some of you can't keep your hands off some stuff. And they thought, surely He's going to kill us. Amen. He told us He was going to. They run hid behind a tree. They found Him faithful, though, didn't they?
Yes.
When they come walking in the garden. He'd just been that way. When the rain started falling, old Noah found Him faithful. You think, the Bible said it never had rain before. Ain't nobody seen no ship like that they built. They got in that thing and said, what in the world's going to happen? Water going to cover this thing up and keep it out? What's going to take? But that thing started to float. And the Lord was faithful enough to pick it up and put it right over on Mount Ararat where everything's going to be all right. God's faithful. You can't get excited about that. You better shout now because this sermon's fixing to turn rough. This is your opportunity right here. This is your opportunity now. Say, amen, Brother Mike. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. It is good stuff. That's good. Like my old preacher used to say, that's good preaching if I am doing it. I'm sorry y'all got to sit here and listen to me, but that's the way it turned out. Sorry. Verse number 19, he says, every tree that... Oh, yeah, I was telling you about a preacher. First time he said, I'll get back to that. My mind's getting better on these things. But he said he wanted to shout, and he sat there in that service, and he couldn't do it. And he said he was afraid everybody was going to laugh at him and make fun of him. He said, but they come back that night, and it got on again. He decided he was just going to let it rip. So he stood up and let it rip. He said nobody even looked at him. I guarantee it's the same. I mean, we're in a small crowd here, but my goodness, people wiping tears and saying amen. Ain't nobody going to pay attention to you if you say amen. They've done stupider things than you have. If they make fun of you and kid you about it out back, just take it. Just say, well, at least I ain't as dumb as you. Amen. Let's get back to this preaching now. Verse 19, he says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And verse number 21, he says, now look, this is my text here. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy, and I pray, God, that you would shed abroad your mercy here this morning. And God, I pray that you would convict hearts, God. Lord, I know you gave me this sermon, God. I know it's the sermon that you want me to preach. And God, I pray you would apply it to every heart, God. I pray you'd help us this morning to examine ourselves. God, I pray you'd help us not just to listen to the voice of the preacher, but listen to the voice, that still small voice, the pleading voice of the Holy Spirit sent, God, down from heaven to represent the Lord Jesus Christ who died, was buried, and rose again for our justification. God, I pray you would help us. I pray you would help me to preach. I pray, God, that you'd help these to listen to this morning, God. And may this be the day, God, somebody sitting in this building lost, may this be the day, God, that you change their lives forever by converting their souls, converting their hearts, and giving them not only a new heart, but a new life, a new name, a new destination. And God, I'll thank you for what you do. God, help me as I preach. Again, help these as they listen. We'll give you all the praise and the honor and glory for what you do. Thank you for these three that were saved in Sunday school this morning. We thank you, God, that you're still in the saving business and that the gospel has a little bit further to go. We thank you for that. God, we just ask you now to have your will and way. And we'll thank you. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Now, like I said, I want to preach to you for just a little bit on church members that will go to hell. As sure as I'm standing here today, there's somebody in this building that's lost. As a preacher, you know, I've not done everything. I've not been everywhere. But I learn more and more to trust in God all the time. The Lord give me a message to preach, and I say, man, that must not be the one. You know, we like to second guess God, don't we? But the more I learn, every once in a while, I preach a sermon like this Thursday. Man, I preached a sermon that was one of the hardest sermons I ever... I'm not talking about hard as far as the material is concerned. I'm talking about it was hard to preach it. It was like carrying a load. And I didn't know what was going on. But I'll tell you what, Friday night after service, me and Ruth had a sit down. She started telling me the things that was going on during the week and how she dealt with certain individuals. And I'll tell you what, it was Thursday night. It was right on. I'm to the point where I can't second guess God. If God give me a message like this, then I know without a shadow of a doubt that there's somebody here that's on their way to hell. So, Brother Mike, you just drew it out there. That's what I thought about the rest of them. That's what I thought Thursday night when I left and said, my goodness, what in the world was that? What in the world? But listen, I got to just trust God. I got to have faith that if God gave me this message, somebody here is trusting maybe in the church membership or maybe some kind of prayer or something like that. And that leads me to say this. Look at verse number 21. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. He said, now listen, you know what Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says? It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now one verse said, whosoever calls, they'll be saved. And on one verse he says, whoever, he said, not everybody that said, Lord, Lord, going to enter in. Now say, which one of them is right? Both of them. Absolutely. But you say, well, it's a contradiction. But no, it's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. You've got to call on the name of the Lord. And if you call on the name of the Lord, He'll save you. But listen here. When you call on God, it must be in true belief, and the result must make a conversion. When you get saved, you don't just join a club. You don't join a fellowship. When you get saved, your life changes. He gives you, have you ever read 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17? He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're not who you was before. You're tempted. Listen, your flesh is always going to be tempted to go back and do the things it once done. You allowed yourself to be tempted. You allowed yourself to be drawn in to the sin of this world that you allowed yourself to do, and your flesh got addicted to those things. Your flesh remembers what it was like to be lost. Your flesh is going to be tempted to go back. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about temptation. I'm talking about your will and your desire. I'm talking about when you get saved, there's a desire in there to do right. There may still be a desire to do wrong, but there is a war going on now. Yes, sir. I wonder this morning how many folks sit on these pews and claim to be saved and have no desire to do right. You can usually tell when you get to preaching along these lines, they'll fold up their arms and say, you can't tell me what to do. That's exactly the attitude I'm talking about. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't care what the preacher said to me. If the preacher jumped right in my face and said, you're wearing black boots and a cowboy tie, you're on your way to hell, I'd have thrown them away. You say, well, I wouldn't know what was that. Now, if I got in my Bible and figured out there was nothing wrong with cowboy boots, I'd probably be mad at him. But listen, when I got saved, God put in me an attitude. God put in me a desire to do the right thing. Not to do my own thing. The Bible says I'm bought with a price. I'm His, not mine.
Amen.
If you're a preacher, you couldn't offend me unless you're preaching false doctrine. Now, if you're preaching something wrong, if you're preaching something false, I might get mad with you over that. But if you're preaching conviction, you can preach whatever you want to. I remember me and Brother Mark was preaching, and he was talking about this fella wearing too much cologne, and he said something along the lines. He said that old stuff, nobody wants to smell you. I said, well, nobody wants to smell me without it. he preached all that. You know, preach what you want to preach. I don't care. You're not going to offend me. You're not going to offend me. And if it's wrong, we got a problem. But, you know, preach your convictions. God deliver you from something, preach it. But, you know, God's people don't worry about stuff like that. God's people glad to be free from sin. If you can show me something that's about to break my neck and about to lead me down the wrong road and about to cause me to make wrong decisions and about to bring me and my family into worse and worse situation, in a worse and worse position, well, you please let me know about it. I'm not going to hack your head off. Well, you can't tell me what to do. That comes from little back-scratching preachers we got all over this country. You pat folks on the back, happy going down the road, and don't worry about it. You better worry about it, folks. We're going to meet a righteous God. You're going to meet a God one of these days that don't like folks picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Do y'all got the same Bible I got? This happened for our example, but listen to me. God killed a man one day for picking up sticks. Ain't that a little better than some of the stuff you've been doing? Picking up sticks. He might have been going to feed his children with the fire made from those sticks. The Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. Well, even when you do right, it's wrong. How you like that? But see, if you're saved, you don't mind stuff like that. You don't mind stuff like that. Now, I'm not in your living room now. I'm not preaching on what you watch. I'm not preaching about that stuff now. I might get to that later on. But I'm just talking about an attitude in your heart. If there's something wrong, now listen, if there's something wrong, you tell me about it, and I go to my house and I pray about it, and I seek God's face about it, I'm not going to get mad at you for telling me something's wrong, something's sin. But there's, you know, folks sitting on the pew been church members 1,000 years, and they get upset. That's why, listen, I can't preach to Atlanta, I can't preach to Jacksonville, but I can preach to Folkston. That's why little preachers come to this town and last 2 or 3 years and run off, because people get upset when they preach the truth. And don't want nobody want to hang around a bunch of folks you preach to and they whine and cry and jump from here to there to here to there to here to there to here to there. This ain't musical chairs. I mean, this ain't, you know, jump up and go to the next church when the music stops.
Right.
I mean, if she's dead, I mean, we got some folks that come from dead churches. I wouldn't advise you to go back to them. But listen, once you get in one where they're telling you the truth, you better sit down and pay attention.
Amen.
The lost and dying world out there watching. Folks skip from church to church to church. Wonder what's going on. Wonder what's wrong. Wonder why they're always fighting. Wonder why they're always upset. Well, no, I don't want that. We got that down here at the beer joint. They can fight the beer joint.
Right.
Ain't none of y'all been down to the beer joint, have you? You say you don't think Christians should drink? No, I don't.
Amen.
But I'm not preaching on that. I'm going to try to preach this message, but time is quickly slipping away. We don't let out 12 o'clock sharp. But anyway, he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. And then the other verse said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But listen, if you call on Him, you're going to call on Him in true belief. And there will be a conversion. There will be a change. If a conversion was not the result when you called on the Lord to save you, you're not saved. And I don't say that out of anger. I don't say that out of trying to be smart. I don't say, listen, what I'm trying to say to you this morning, though, is if you got saved and nothing happened in your heart that changed you from what you was to what you should be as a Christian, you did not get saved.
Amen.
You can try, you can try, you can try. But in the Christian life, Brother Curtis, you don't have to try.
Yeah.
The Bible says He set me free. The Bible says He came to give us life and to give us more abundance. He said the truth shall make you free. It didn't say set you free.
Yeah.
It said make you free.
Right.
Make you free. I've been made free.
Amen.
My name is not John and I'm an alcoholic. And you know, people say, I'm John and I'm an alcoholic. They haven't took a drink for 30 years, James. I know men in this town that hadn't took a drink in 30 years and they still go to the same old chain and say, my name's John, I'm an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. You say, well, God set me free from it. I don't even claim to be an alcoholic. You say, well, are you? I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Listen, we got a victim mentality in our country.
Yeah.
Right. I've done you wrong. I've done wrong. Everybody done you wrong. Well,
Jesus
done you right.
Amen.
And set you free from that mess. And if everybody in the world done you wrong, just go on and leave them. Live for God. Pray for them.
Amen.
Go on and live your life and do the right thing. You say, why? Because you're free now. You're not who you was before.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You still got the same old guilt you had before you got saved? That's probably a reason for that if you do. You got the same old chain that you had before you got saved? What in the world did God use to show you that you needed to be saved anyway? Wasn't it your sin? Wasn't it your vile life? If you just joined the church to build up your position in the community, you missed the boat. You missed it. Brother Mike, you're preaching this because you're mad at us. No, I'm preaching trying to get you to go to heaven. I want you to go with me. I mean, if God could put up with me, then we could put up with one another, couldn't we? So you should just love us and put up with us any way that we are. Well, why don't you love me and put up with me any way that I am? This is the way I am.
Come on.
Huh? I'm getting sick and tired of little weasels running in here. You don't love us like we are. We're leaving here. You don't love me like I am.
Yeah.
This is the way I preach, honey.
Preach.
They don't mean what they say, Brother Mike, when they say you don't love me like I am. They don't mean that. They mean they want to keep going on in sin. They mean they want to keep going on the way they was. They mean they don't have the love of Jesus in their heart. That means they're still lost. They're going to hell. That's what that means. Well, he offended me. You offend me.
Amen.
Worse than that, you offend God.
Amen.
I wasn't trying to preach on that. That just came down from the heavens. Verse verse 21, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now you notice what he said. He said, "Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Not everyone would enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now that's where you definitely want to go. I mean, there's some things in the Bible that'll keep you from entering into the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. Now, when you go to heaven, are you going in me? For the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is in me. So the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is a different thing. You get saved and you try to live the same old life you was living before, you're not going to get into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is love. It's joy. It's peace in the Holy Ghost. I mean, you try to live like a devil while you're saved, you're not going to get into that. You've got no inheritance there. But he's not talking about the kingdom of God here. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. See what he says? "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And a lot of us think, we know, we go to heaven, we're going up there in the clouds, and we're all going to play harps and hang around the rainbows. And after all of what the homosexuals have done with the rainbow, God may not even have no more rainbows after it's all over with. But listen, I mean, you think that's heaven somewhere up there in the sky. But listen, New Jerusalem's going to come down from God out of heaven, and we're going to be right here forevermore. That's exactly what's going to happen. You say, "Well, I thought it was other way." That's because you get your religion out of comic books and, you know, Cupid dolls. We seen this picture of this little baby with the harp and the wings. I said, that's an angel. That ain't no angel. You know, don't you think God's got better sense than to put a bunch of babies out there flapping around with wings and playing harps? Now, see, you think that's a big deal. Why would he say something like that? I mean, that's the idea that people have about the God that created us. Anyways. "Since not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Listen, what I'm trying to say to you by that is, you better get serious about finding out who God is. And if you've been sitting on the church pew trusting in plain blank religion and having your name on the church membership, and just because you got baptized or just because you said some little prayer, that does not mean you're going to heaven. That does not mean that you are saved. What means you're saved is if God put something new in your heart, changed your mind, changed your attitude, changed your will, changed your desires. My constant prayer is, I know the drawing power that sin has. I know the drawing power, the tempting power. I mean, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to see something out there in the world and it tempts you and draw you. And just about to the point it pulls the teeth out of your mouth. I mean, it's pulling you so hard. I know what that's like. I know exactly what that's like. But my prayer to God is, God, draw me to the right thing twice as strong as the world is drawing me in the opposite direction. Did you know God can do that? You know, I never thought when I was 17 years old, I never thought I'd love that Bible. I mean, I had been around it since I was 4 years old. I heard it preached, I heard the preacher preach, and I had even sat and looked at the preacher, just like some folks sat and looked at me. I never dreamed I'd look at them pages and have tears fall down on them. I never dreamed that I'd go out and I'd see somebody on the street and just shed tears because I knew that was going to hell. I never thought that'd be me. Oh, that was for the saps. That was for the square folks. I'm a sappy square folk. Amen. It's twice as much fun. It's twice as much fun as being one of those rowdy, dope smoking, cigarette smoking, tobacco chewing, wife running around on, husband one running around on, honky tonking, good time and good old boys. My way is better than your way. My way is twice as much fun as yours is. I don't never wake up with a hangover. I don't never, ever, ever wake up regretting going to church last night. I don't never wake up wondering what I've done. Well, what did I do last night? Where does black eye come from? I must have fell jumping over a pew. No, so that stuff don't happen. When the Lord converted the maniac of Gadara, you know what condition he in? He was cutting himself. Y'all know anybody that cuts himself? He was out there cutting himself. And he was out there destroying his own life. He was naked, didn't have no clothes on, running around like a heathen. He was doing everything, hanging out in the graveyard. How stupid is that? You know how they found him after he got converted, don't you? He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. For the first time ever. When I got saved, I was clothed and in my right mind for the first time ever. And it feels better. There's more fun. My life may not look like fun to you, but you don't know where I'm at. I've been where you at. You've never been where I'm at. You don't know. So shut up. You have nothing to say. Brother Curtis, people laugh. Or people say, you don't know what we're going through. I do know what you're going through. I've been drunk.
Amen.
I've been high. I've been in a fight. I've stole stuff. I mean, I've done just about everything that you can imagine. Hey, I know what it's like to live that life. Don't tell me I don't know. I live a better life than you do if you live in that kind of life.
Amen.
I promise you that. The Word of God promises you that. He says, but he that, listen, he says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Period. Boy, he didn't give you no description or nothing, did he? He says, no, but he said, everybody that says, Lord, Lord, ain't going to heaven, but him that does the will of my Father. Boy, that'll leave a lost man scratching his head. You say, why would it be scratching his head? Because he'll be asking the same question I'm fixing to ask you. Are you doing the will of your Father? Well, sounds like work salvation to me. Let me just ask you the question. Are you doing the will of your Father? You think the life you're living, you think that's God's will? The life that you're living, is it God's will or is it your will? Well, I just don't feel like coming to church on Sunday night. I don't feel like coming to church. And I know folks work. I know that, but we ain't talking about that. We're talking about you that's laying out. I just don't feel like it. Why don't you feel like it? It's God's will. He said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, going to heaven. He said, just them that does the will of my Father. I don't feel like witness. I don't feel like telling people about Jesus. I don't feel like looking like a big idiot as you do. Well, you don't have to go out and preach to your fellows down at work like I'm preaching to you here. You kind of, you know, ease up beside them, ask them about if they know the Lord. You don't have to get up on top of the break table at work and say, now let me tell you, you're going to hell! That don't work like it does in church. Well, probably wouldn't hurt nothing, though. It's better than all them GDs you hear down at the workplace. Yes, sir. It'd be far better than that. And better than the music they play at break time if you get up and sing, Amazing Grace. I mean, I can't sing a lick, but me singing bad, good songs would be better than them singing good, bad songs. I think I said that right. I hope it come out right. It sounded right in my head anyway. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Can I show you what the will of the Father is? Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Let's see what it says. Let's see what verse 37. Let's see verse 36. He said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Some of you folks have seen the Lord. You've seen him work. You've seen him change other people's lives. You've seen what he can do, but yet you don't believe in him still. Now listen, let me tell you what I mean by that. When I first started going to church, I looked at the men that was at church and I saw nice, clean-cut men. I mean, this was back in the early 70s. So, I mean, they looked kind of crazy. I mean, their shirt collar on their shirt was, I mean, kind of weird for our standard, but the shirt collar on their shirt was on the outside of their jacket. I mean, they looked pretty funny. You know, that old 70s, remember when your shirt collar was out to here? I mean, it looked kind of funny to me, but when I come and I see what was going on at church, I'll fool you on that. When I come to church, they look different from me. They look different from my daddy. My daddy had hair down about right here. He just had to come back to Vietnam, from Vietnam, and he was an ambulance driver. He'd go out there and get them mangled up bodies and bring them back. When he come back from that mess, man, he was messed up. I mean, he was on beer and long hair and God knows what else. I was only 4 years old, so God knows what else. So I come in there and I looked at those other people, and man, I knew something was different. You say, what was you looking at? I didn't understand at the time, but I was looking at what God had done. Yeah.
I was looking at God's Word. I mean, I looked at men that were just like my daddy. But God, and listen, when my daddy, I came on the bus, when my mom and daddy started coming with us, my daddy's hair started getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And pretty soon, my mama and my daddy looked like all the rest of those folks. And they were just church folks, but, you know, I thought they was angels. I thought I'd fell in them. You say, what? I've seen what God done for everybody else. Boy, if that can't help you believe. I mean, listen, I'll just say this to you folks that are definitely saved. You need to start living so folks can see what God can do in the body.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Look what he says. Boy, we run out of time, but that's all right. Y'all got somewhere to go? He says in verse number 36, he said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Boy, the Lord accepts anybody, don't he? He'll accept you this morning.
Amen.
So I've done terrible things. Good. You're the ones we're looking for.
Amen. Amen.
For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now we're getting close, ain't we? Didn't we say? He said, not everybody that says Lord, Lord going to enter in, but he said, them that do the will of my Father. Now we're getting on close grounds here. Verse 39, he said, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. But look what he says in verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. So we go back up to Matthew chapter 7. He says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. His will for you is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Ain't you glad his will for you is not to keep the Ten Commandments? I mean, the children of Israel proved that didn't do no good.
Amen. Right.
God gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments and all the rest of them. You know, there's more than 500 of those things.
Yeah.
But he gave them those to point him to Christ. He says, hey, look at that list and say, I can't do that when Lord Jesus Christ says, I can. I can't do that one. I can. I can't do that one. I can. I can't do that one. I can. I can't do none of these. The Lord said, I've done them all. And then he died on the cross and he took your couldn't and carried it on the cross with him and gave you his could. Gave you his can. Gave you his ability. Gave you his righteousness. Why could God do all those things? Because he was righteous. They was a description of him to begin with. Honor your father and mother. What's that? That's a description of what Christ was. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. What is that? That's a description of who Christ was. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is that a description of? That's a description of who Christ was. The law is just the character of Christ. That's why he could fulfill it. That's who he was.
Amen.
So he says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many. You see that word many? That word ought to scare you to death. Many. That means if you're saved, you're in the few. The Broadway's got a bunch of folks on it. The Bible said they're heading for destruction. He said, but the straight gate and the straight way, there's few. Few. That word many ought to scare you to death. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Let me just go ahead and cut to the chase and tell you that the answer to every one of those questions is no. Hadn't we prophesied in your name? And that's what most people are concerned with. You know, every one of those things that he listed in that verse right there, those are outward religious things. Didn't we go to church? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we do good works? I mean, didn't we help little old ladies across the street? I mean, didn't we put some money in the plate? And that is what folks are basing the religion on. And that is not real Christianity. Didn't I say a prayer? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? That will not get you to heaven. And let me ask you a quick, let me point something out to you. These people, he's talking about a judgment here. He's talking about people standing before him in judgment and saying, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? What do you reckon would make a man question God in the judgment? Ain't he right? Ain't God right?
Yes.
Let me ask the Baptist side. Ain't God right?
Yes. Amen.
Well, what's these people doing standing in front of God saying, well, didn't we do this? When God passes His judgment, what do you have to say about it? Well, that's exactly what's going on right here this morning. You're asking questions. Who do you think you are? What are you saying? Who do you think we are that you can talk? I mean, what? Don't you know who we are? Don't you know what we've done? Don't you know I've been a member of this church for 30 years? Don't you know? You're asking questions. Listen, let me tell you something this morning. If I was saved and you was preaching this message, I'd be saved. Preach!
Amen.
Why? Because I'm saved.
Right.
I believe on it. That's the will of the Father to believe on it. I believe on it and it changed me. It was a slow process. He brought me along little by little and he's making me, he's still working on me. He's still cutting little pieces out and putting little pieces in. So my question to you this morning, is he working on you? How are you different this year as a Christian than you was last year? That's the difference. Somebody never changed one bit.
Amen.
You come up and made a little prayer and you put your name on the card and that's it. You'll come if you feel like it and you won't if you don't.
Come on, man.
You say, what is that? You'll not get in. I don't take no pleasure in saying that. Some people preach on hell like they're glad everybody's going. I don't want one person to go to hell. Listen, if you sit here and hate my guts, I don't want you to go to hell. No, sir. I want you to realize that what I'm telling you this morning is the truth. If the Lord saves you, He changes you on the inside and you desire us to do it. He puts you on a different road. You're not even on the same trail you was coming in on. Come into church and you come off the road of a drunkard, come off the road of a bitter person, come off the road. Just name your sin. Just put the label of your sin on the trail you rode in here on. It's a different road you leave when you get saved. You're on a different road. It's got different buildings on it. It's got different destinations. It's got different scenery. If you will and your way and your attitude and your surroundings and your scenery are the same as it was before you got saved, chances are you're still heading to the same place before you made your profession. You with me still this morning?
Amen.
I'm almost done. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils? And in Thy name have done many wonderful works? You see, these people are deceived. They think they're preaching in God's name. If it's the preachers, what do you think about the folks that don't even come to church? Say they're saved. I knocked on the girl's door yesterday. I know for a fact she's on drugs. I know for a fact she runs around with different men all the time. I know for a fact she does every wicked thing under the sun. Everything that you wouldn't let your children get around, this girl does it. I knocked on her door. She came to the door. I said, I'll come over here to invite you to church. She goes, I might come. I'll try to come. I said, let me ask you a question more important. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. No, she's not. I could come around to 1,000, I could come around to 1,000 church members in this town. And I ask the same question and they'd all say, yeah, I'm saved. And they'd be just as wrong. Just as wrong. Because there ain't no change. There's no conviction. Listen, if you are saved and you're trying to live a life contrary to the Word of God, God is in your heart going, trying to shake you awake. The Bible says, whom He loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. He said, if you're not chastened, then you're a bastard, not a son.
Yeah, right.
Not a son. Not a son. I hope that rings in your ears. Not a son. I hope when you go to bed tonight, you hear the voice calling in your head. Not a son. Not a son.
Yeah.
Not a son. I hope when you wake up in the morning, the voice comes through loud and clear. Not a son. Not a son. People are so caught up with this world and they're entranced to the things that are going around. They're hypnotized by the course of this world, by the things that goes on day after day after day after day. And I think what's going to happen is God is going to have to deal with you for 2 or 3 weeks straight. Every time you make a move, He says, not a son.
Yeah.
Not a son. You are 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 not a son. God get in the ear and preach to you like that. After about 3 weeks, you'll stop going. And you'll go, not a son. I need to get saved.
Come on, preach it.
not a son. They're deceived, see? They're doing all the Christian things. They're doing all the things. But look what he said in verse 23. You ever heard anybody say they made a profession of faith? I made a profession of faith. I made a profession of faith. I went and I prayed a prayer. Look what God's profession is. Verse 23. This is God's profession of faith. He said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." I never knew you. That's some of the saddest words in the Bible right there. There's people in your family, listen, there's people in your family who God don't know. I mean, He knows them in regards to their existence, but I'm talking about knowing them in regards to being a son. God knew who these people was. He's got an accurate account of their whole life. He knows every thought they've ever thought. He knows every word they've ever said. Every idle word that a man shall speak, the Bible says He'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. God knows who they are, but He don't know them as a son. He said, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you." And then He says this, here's the commandment. That was the profession. Here's the commandment. Depart from me. How about if God said that to you? I thank God for His grace, don't you?
Amen.
I mean, I called on Him, He saved me. And every time I've called on Him since, He said, "Here I am." I read my Bible. Sometimes God calls on a man, He'll say, "Here am I." Some of them will say, "Here am I, send me." I like it, but every time I've ever called on God, so God's called me a few times and I didn't say, "Here am I." I said, "Who, me?" Are you talking to Him or me? Him or me? Yeah, got to be careful about that. But God's not like we are. God's faithful. But look, it's the profession of God, "I never knew you." It's the commandment of God, "Depart from me." Suppose God told you today was your day to depart. Be rough. Look what He says. He says, "Depart from me." And here's the description. Here's the description. Here's the tag that makes it all fit. Here is the definition that makes the whole Scripture understandable. He says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Is that you? The Bible says in 1 John, it says that if you're saved, He says, you purify yourself even as you're pure. You're not perfect. But on the inside, you're saved and you're clean. And the Bible says if you're clean and pure and saved and washed on the blood, in the blood, on the inside, you'll do some things on the outside to make the outside match. He purifies Himself,
amen,
even as He is pure. God purified me on the inside. And we always quote Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast." Why don't they keep on quoting and quote verse 10? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When God creates you into a new creature, He does it so you be created unto good works. But He said to those people right there, He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity." That's why people get mad when you preach against sin, Brother Mike. It's not because you don't love, it's because you're still working iniquity. It's because their mind, it's because their attitude, it's because their thought process is still the same old things that it always has been. If it was money before, it's money now. If it was glamour before, it's glamour now. If it was the pride of this world, the pride of this life, and the lust of the flesh before, that's exactly what it is now. And your life has not changed, and a new convert has not been made, and you are not born again. You've only been born the one time. And when the judgment comes, there'll be no preacher laughing at you and saying, "I told you so," but the result will be the same. That's going to be a shame. You'll be judged and you'll be found wanting. And the God of all being, it won't be the preacher, then it won't be the preacher saying that you're not worthy. It'll be God saying, "You're not saved. You're not saved. You're not a son." "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let me ask you the question this morning. When God saved you, did He make something else out of you? Or are you the same person you've always been? Are you still the worker of iniquity? Are you still the person? You say, "How do I define that?" I define that as a person who still longs and loves to abide in his sin. A person who still longs and loves to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you are saved, you hate it every time you commit a sin. I didn't say you didn't commit sin. But every time you commit one, it's a terrible thing that goes on inside your heart. "Man, I shouldn't have done it. I wish I wouldn't have done it." You don't get mad and fold your hands and fuss and cuss at the preacher and get mad and go out, "I'll never come back here again." That's not the attitude of somebody that's saved.
Amen.
That's not the attitude of somebody towards a loving Savior that shed His blood and had His beard pulled and a crown of thorns on His head and a spear in His side and nails through His feet and through His hands. That's not your attitude toward that Savior. No, sir. No, sir. Are you one that's born again or are you one that's still in your first birth? Still in the same old life. Has there been a change? Has there been a change? Brittany, if you would, how about come and just play something up soft on the piano for us? Just come and play something. If you would stand, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Listen, I know without a shadow of a doubt. I know without a shadow of a doubt this morning, God spoke to somebody's heart that's just been playing church. Or maybe never even made a profession of faith. I don't know what the case may be, but I know this. There's somebody in this building this morning that's lost, Brother Curtis. They're lost. I know it. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. God wouldn't have given me such a message. And I know, just as good as I know my name, that God gave me this message for this morning. Would you come this morning while she plays? Would you come this morning? Would you forget about pride? Would you forget about what it's going to mean? Would you forget about all that and just put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and let Him make a new creature out of you this morning? Would you do that this morning? Would you quit trusting in your works? Would you quit trusting in yourself? You say, what is this, brother? This is an old time. This is an old time preaching an altar call. This is an old time way of doing it. Listen, you get up off your seat, you come down to the altar, you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saves you and makes you a new creature. Would you come this morning? Would you come while she plays? Would you come while she plays this morning? God's speaking to your heart. That heartbeat begins to beat 1,000 miles an hour. I would respond to it this morning. I know what it's like to be sitting where you are. I know what it's like. I know the pressure. I know the pressure that's put on a person trying to make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, in baptism, when you get called to preach, whatever the case may be, it's always the same. There's a great resistance. Would you move? Would you move? I don't know why Christians hadn't moved. I don't know why Christians hadn't come and got on an old-fashioned altar and began to pray for souls. If there's one of your church members, if there's one of the people in your church going to hell, it looks like folks would pray. Looks like folks would be concerned. Looks like folks would shed tears. It's true. It's true. Oh, how we miss our opportunities. The hour gets a little bit late and we think, man, I'd just like to get out of here. Hey, wouldn't it be worth you spending an extra hour in church? Somebody gets saved. Sure it would. While she plays.